You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, Cookie Monster's favorite radio station.
Good night, Chicago! Brutal!
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon. Ah!
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists, known perverts, and Mormons.
What do you like?
It is 11:30 a.m. on a Wednesday. That means it's time for a noise here, as it is every Wednesday on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Luke Mead here, as always. Coming up in the next hour and a half, at 12 noon, we're going to be repeating a broadcast that I did on October 6th, 2006. It's an interview with Angus Andrew from The Liars, who were just in town last night at the, what I assume to be, thoroughly soaked Thunderbird Stadium. Did anyone go to the show? Give me a call, 822-2487, if you did, and let me know how the show was. But yeah, we've got an hour-long audio documentary with The Liars, where we talk about quite a few various noisy things. So it's not just Liars for an hour, so stay tuned for that. But for the first half hour, we'll get into some all brand new stuff, all playlist stuff. This I've been meaning to play for a while, and I forgot that it existed. I listened to this a couple weeks ago. And you can ask Marielle, host of We All Fall Down, what my face looked like after I heard this. Get ready. This is Gridlink. Who just entertained a sold-out audience at Richards on Richards 3 weeks ago. Their newest one, Smile, you heard there. Well, entertained, I don't think is the right word. I think shocked and astounded was probably a better one. But Boris, always fascinating stuff out of Japan. That record's available anywhere on Southern Lord Records. You heard Buzzed In. Before that, something brand new from our friends out of Providence, Rhode Island. Load Records, always a fascinating label. They've just given us this new one. The band is called Shit and Shine. Kuss mich mein Liebe. And my German is good enough to mean that. That means kiss me, my love. And the track you heard there was The Germans Call It a Swimming Head. And just of interest here, they have vocals featured on this record by Pete Simonelli, who's from The Enablers, another great band. I saw them over Don Caballero last December. And that utter spazzy start to the show there, Gridlink, brand new band on Hydrahead Records. Amber Gray is the new of the album, name of the new album, and I think it clocks in at, I think it's under 10 minutes, and there's at least, you know, 15 songs on here. So be sure to check that out. You're listening to Annoyz here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Luke Mead here. We're going to have some more music coming up right now. This one probably making everyone's best of the year list. This is No Age. Something brand new there by Wobbly, going out to Bleak and Crew there. Brand new split 7-inch out on the Divorce series, which is based right here in Vancouver, BC on Ake Records. I think this is, yeah, this is number 7 out of the, I don't know how many is he putting out, but it's always a split 7-inch series. Always two very fascinating bands. Check it out at acherecords.com. And if you're a 7-inch collector, get all of these. But Wobbly, new track called Tiny Tongue. Before that, you know him, you love him. From Portland, Oregon, Mattress. His newest one out on Reluctant Recordings, Heavy Duty. Available everywhere you should get. That track was called Take Me to Your Leader. And then we started off there with No Age, of course, on Nouns, probably the hottest Sub Pop record out this year. This weather is depressing the crap out of me, and I usually play this tune when I do get down in the dumps and stuff like that, and I hope it down in the dumps you as well. And then at 12 noon, like I said, stay tuned. We'll have an hour-long audio documentary with The Liars, so stay tuned for that. But right now, this is some freak folk from 1971 from the UK. This is Comus with The Herald.
As a single star.
And that's dedicated to all the Arthur magazine reading hippies out there. Yes, Comus, very, very obscure freak folk from 1971 from the UK. Their album First Utterance now going for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And that's what you just heard there. First Utterance is the name of the record. And The Herald is the name of the track. It is 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Anoy's Luke Mead here at the helm. And for the next hour, and shall I say, I guess 57 minutes or whatnot, about a year and a half ago, I had the pleasure of interviewing Angus Andrew from The Liars. The Liars have always been a very, very fascinating band. If you ask me, they've never allowed themselves to be pigeonholed and experimenting with different musical genres each album, getting into concepts such as even going all the way out into a haunted wood cabin to sing about witches in the middle of, I think there's in Connecticut somewhere. And they were just in town yesterday, and I'd really like to know how the show went. So if anybody that went to the show, give me a call here at 822-2487. But here is a Liars audio documentary on Anoy's.
Crystals flying everywhere. Thank you.
Name, age, and occupation, please.
Okay, my name is Angus Boughton Andrew. I am 29, and I am a, I guess I'm a musician, I don't know.
It's been 4 years. It's been 4 years since the Lyres have played Vancouver, and the
Wow, we've been a band that long.
Yeah, and the last time, you guys were here, you were opening for John Spencer Blues Explosion.
Wow!
And I wanted to know, how did that pairing work? Because I can see the Lyres being a bit challenging for like a JSBX kind of crowd.
Yeah, it was a little weird, I think. But you know, what's great about that band? I mean, they're it's one of the hardest working bands in rock and roll. You know, they tour everywhere. So what was great was that we, on that tour, got to go to, you know, places like Tempe, Arizona, and play to more than 10 people, which is what we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. I, you know, obviously, yeah, the Spencer crowd is pretty rock-oriented, but... I don't remember us having any problems, except in Vancouver, because I couldn't get any pot.
You couldn't find pot in Vancouver?
Yeah, dude, how crazy is that? I mean, what happened was they confiscated our bus when we came last time. Yeah, so we had to, like, catch a cab from the border or something, and, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. I don't think that'll be a problem this time.
Okay. Yeah.
When I got the press release for Drums Not Dead from Mute, it had just simply printed on it in giant black bold letters, "Not a concept album."
Nice.
And I wanted to know, Angus, what is your definition of a concept album? And when you're in town, can we like crack some beers and crank Lamb Lies Down on Broadway by any chance? Or?
Yes. Well, absolutely on that one. Yeah, you know, this idea of a concept record, I think we really dealt with on our second record, which was, to my knowledge, as close as we've got to a concept record, in that, you know, we decided on an abstract sort of plan and a sort of a formula before, and we stuck to that throughout the record. This one was... made entirely differently, and we didn't really talk about it that much in the process. And the reason why I think we were so concerned about it being regarded as a concept record is because we had the gall and the tenacity to title our songs in a certain way that I think in the end really kind of screwed us up, because it made it seem like it was very conceptual, but it wasn't at all. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that, I think that the concept albums are more probably applicable to, you know, a Britney Spears release or something, because, you know, I think she has a whole whole team of people coming up with the look, the sound, the style, and they really stick to that. And as far as I'm concerned, those are really, you know, sort of very marketing conceptual projects. I guess I get worried that the term gets thrown around too loosely and we end up, you know, having to catch it.
Yeah. when I do play the record on my show, actually, I find, though, that it mixes really well with fellow label mates of yours, The Residents. Now, whole duality on the album between Drum and Mount Heart Attack reminds me really of the two opposing sounds between the Chubbs and the Moles on the tunes of Two Cities.
Did
the Liars, do you guys have any Residents influences at all? Or
As is the case in a lot of our projects, it tends to happen afterwards once we've played it to some people, and then they bring up these things like The Residents. And really, for me, I totally was a fan, but I didn't know the full on catalog, and to really look at how they approach different records is obviously something that is really akin to what we do. So but like I said, really the reality for me and most of them is I learn more from the journalists and the people who tell me about the record.
That's not a surprisingly very popular answer I get when I ask about comparisons and stuff. Well, speaking of label mates, though, I do know for a fact that you definitely, shall we say, appropriated Einstein Neubauten Strategies Against Architecture artwork for The Room on the Broom 10-inch. Did you guys have to ask permission for that?
Oh, certainly, yeah. We had to make the very scary call to Mr. Blixer.
Yes, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Blixer before,
right,
actually.
Yeah. Boy. So you know what it must have been like to ask him if we could sort of deface his artwork.
But what did they think of the final product?
I honestly don't think we ever heard anything from them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the extent of our connection with them really was that phone call where we asked, we just needed to kind of explain to them what we were doing. They said fine, and I don't really think we ever heard anything about it again, apart from the great thing that we often see, which is like, people who come to our shows and make sure they wear a Neubauten shirt, which is kind of great.
That's awesome. Are you fans of the band, obviously, then?
No. Yeah. I mean, again, in the very sort of general sense, mm-hmm. where, it's not maybe that I, you know, listen to their music all the time or love particular songs, but obviously their approach to the whole idea of making stuff is really interesting and something that, you know, I would love to be able to, you know, sort of achieve the way they have, you know.
We'll be right back.
The first track I ever heard by you guys was This Dirt Makes That Mud, and I was absolutely blown away by it. When you put it out on vinyl, I've never seen it on vinyl, did you actually do a lock groove of the loop, or did you actually do a 30-minute thing like it is on the CD?
Yeah, good, very good question. I mean, that's where the initial idea was that we made that for a lock groove, and never really thought about the CD side of it. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the CD and we realized that we had to sort of fudge that. But in the end, that's what happened. You know, in the reverse, we never got the chance to make the lock groove for whatever reason we were given at the time. And we had to, fudge it the mm-hmm. same way. So, yeah.
Has the band ever performed it live in its entirety?
Oh, yeah. We used to always play it live. It was a big, when we first played, it was this big thing we used to do at the end of shows and just keep it going until sort of people started to leave and stuff. but then we started getting really excited and we would do that as the first song and make it really long so mm-hmm. that all the people who, we knew couldn't hack the rest of the show would leave.
That sounds fantastic. when you guys did make the jump from Threw Us on a Trench to They Were Wrong So We Drowned, it, I mean, like you said, you mentioned about reading all the journalists and stuff like that. There were a lot of people in the musical world put up in arms about it because you were kind of touted to be like the next DFA, disco punk, what have you. And then you go out and you make... Did you as a band, though, like, were you conscious that you could have been taking a bit of a gamble or a bit of a risk at all?
Oh, certainly. I mean, that's, I think that's what we were intending for. I mean, we needed to, in our eyes, basically stop everything, smash everything that we'd apparently achieved up to that point. And we were uncomfortable with this idea of any achievement after making, you know, one record that, you know, honestly, we really didn't think that much about, you know. And I guess a lot of it had to do with, you know, we suddenly found ourselves supporting Sonic Youth on a tour, and that was obviously, you know, like every kid's dream, and and we suddenly felt it was completely fake, like we hadn't earned it, and that we weren't worthy, and that we needed to go away and really put down something that, you know, that reflected a bit more of the way we think, rather than, you know, I don't think we ever expected anyone to even hear Trench, you know, and so it was really uncomfortable to have that be your statement of purpose. You know? It wasn't a tent of the things that we were interested in, and happened to be, you know, these sort of cool drum beats and bass lines happened to be something that we were, you know, interested in at that time. But yeah, so it was really important for us to sort of shut down everything, stop everything, and start again.
Take your cauldron and get down. Take your cauldron and get down. fly, fly, the devil's in your eyes, shoot, shoot. Fly, fly, the devil's in your eyes, shoot, shoot. Fly, fly, the devil's in your eyes, shoot, shoot. Fly, fly, the devil's in your eyes, shoot, shoot. Fly, fly, the devil's in your eyes, shoot, shoot.
I see that the liars have joined the MySpace revolution.
Yay for MySpace!
And,
although Rupert Murdoch owns it now, so that's a bit of a worry.
Well, that's yeah, I know, obviously. Well, that's what the rumor is, at least.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was just going to ask, though, I always wonder when it comes to bands, like on your level of success or whatever, does one of the members actually maintain the space, or is it done for you?
Well, it's kind of a little halfy-halfy. Basically, the first load is always us, you know, and particularly that decision to enter this MySpace realm was something I found kind of difficult. But we do it, but we do have one friend of ours who, and it's not like it's we employ someone, but it's a friend of ours who is a good enough friend that they will check on that and handle some of the things that go on in it when we're on tour, for example. But if I get the chance and I'm off tour, I love to, like, read it and stuff.
Yeah, it's a great waste of time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time alone, but in a cool way.
Yeah!
Okay, on the links section of the site, on your website, I mean, you got links to Missy Elliott and Public Enemy and Eric B., man.
Yeah.
All right, so you're down with the hip-hop beats then?
Oh, see, I, you know, that's where we started, I think. You know, I think we've always been into, you know, repetition and hip-hop. You know, it's kind of one of the reasons I first moved to New York from Australia was to get closer to that. Because all I was getting was CNC Music Factory,
wow.
You know, so... Yeah, and that's something that we all kind of share. I think that, you know, we've made this statement to each other before that, you know, if we're listening to music, we can all be happy listening to Biggie Smalls and Led Zeppelin,
mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much it.
Is that pretty much what you hear in the tour van then?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we stretch it out when we get a hold of something new, like the Pink record.
Oh, you've been listening to the Pink record?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we saw her in Australia and it was really fun, so I think we all got a bit excited.
This is a journey.
Pour la colcha.
Dude, I've got one final question for you, and we're done.
Yep.
Have you ever physically had your pants on fire?
No, but I got really badly kicked in the balls in New Orleans. My testicles went black and bigger than a basketball.
Oh,
but
my God.
No, I never lit the pants on fire. You know, I don't know. I don't want to ever hear the word fire in a song again, basically.
there you go. A 1 hour audio documentary with Angus Andrew from The Liars. I hope everyone that went to the show last night enjoyed themselves and didn't get too wet. That just about does it for yet another edition of Annoyance. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back right at you next week at 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, as I always am, with all the noise that's fit to play. Until next week, this is Luke Mead signing off, saying if it doesn't annoy, it's not a noise. Bye for now.